All right. We're going to continue looking at discipline. Raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we're looking at what you do rather than what you say. One is instruction, one is hands-on, the other one is more the counsel and instruction. And as we did that, we did the I think we did the what, and that's the discipline, and we've just said that's the hands-on work. I'm just going to put that right here, hands-on, and then the why do we do that? Okay, and I'm going to put it this way, because And when I say discipline here, I'm going to use, just so it's maybe nice and clear, I'm just going to use it this way. Spanking, okay, or what the Bible calls consistently the rod. So there's, and the difference is, discipline is the rod, instruction is reproof. And so we're looking at this because, and I'm just going to put this, because we love our children. Okay. This is not a work of punishment just for punishment's sake, but do not hate your child, because to spare the rod is to hate the child, says Proverbs. And so because we love them, because we don't want to leave them to themselves, we don't want to leave them to their own way, which the Proverbs speaks about, because their way is naturally the wrong way unless they're directed by their parents. And so now what we're, let's see. Oh, yeah. And then I put the when. When is this to take place? When is this, what we'd just say, corporal discipline to take place? And that's, and I'm just putting it where there's been willful disobedience. And that can be commission or omission. It could be not doing what you've been told, or doing what you've been told not to do. And so we just call it willful disobedience. Okay, and so now we're getting down to this is the one we want to get to now, and this is the how. How is that to be done? And that's what we're gonna look at now. And as I do that, in other words, I'm calling this the manner of discipline. And I'm gonna say there's two preparatory means that we're to two instructions that I want to give. First of all, this is primary. Just whatever you do, bathe it in prayer. I mean, one of the things that we're conscious of with regard to discipline and everything else is it takes wisdom, and we need wisdom with regard to dealing with our children, with which one we're dealing with, how we're dealing with them, how they respond, and how we respond. And so we need. This is one of those things where we just need to. You know, as a parent, we're really brought to the end of ourselves all the time. It's always easy to take care of our jobs or our vocations or callings and everything else, but when it comes to our children, it's like we feel like we get over our heads. You know, we can handle all kinds of stuff that we know. You know, you can do first responder stuff, emergency stuff, all that kind of stuff, Blaine, but when you come home, you know, you feel like an idiot. You say, wait a second, I don't know what to do now. You know, and that's what we do. We, in many of those ways, we just feel like we're out, you know, we're beyond ourselves. And so we need this. And this is where we just, you know, pray for wisdom. But then this is the other one I'm going to say. And okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say be on their side. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to have to explain that, because that sounds like it's just going contrary to what we're saying. Okay, be on their side. In other words, everything that you do, let it be known that you're not doing it because you're against them. Okay, in other words, never get this position, you know, where that that what you're doing is because you're against them. But this idea that everything that you are doing, you're doing because you do love them and care for them. And this is sometimes, I mean, that's something good to speak to them about. But obviously, as we were children, you know, I'm doing this for your good. I remember my parents saying that to me, you know, I'm doing this for your own good. And I'm saying, I don't think so. You know, we don't think so, okay? But, you know, and the thing that at least I'm mindful of in my own experience where discipline was a practiced and consistent thing was, even though it was hard at times, I never thought that they didn't love me, you know, in the midst of all of that. It was hard. I didn't like it. You know, I don't know if I probably said, you're mean or something like that. But what I realized is that they did love me. It wasn't like I was, because everything else they did was for me, you know. And again, you're not going to argue with them. You can't reason with them. But I'm talking about just as parents that they are for me. And so we have to, and this is what always gets to be the challenge here. You know, just don't, you know, don't let, let's see, don't, okay, don't let your relationship, I'm actually writing on the board and this is awkward for me, so, okay, but, and I think I'll try to make these notes, I'm just going to try to print them up for people so you guys will have them. Okay, but don't let your relationship become adversarial. You know, in other words, you're just finally fed up. And right now, some of you just have the little stink bugs. And, you know, and it's not like necessarily it's adversarial, but it is kind of an inconvenience. It kind of messes up your life. It kind of is irritating. It's kind of frustrating. It's kind of like, you know, we want to get on with life, but these little, you know, little ones are requiring all of our time. But don't let it become adversarial. And I'm saying this is, and because this is, eventually this really is accented in the teen years when they are becoming what you want them to be, to ones who begin to exercise their will in wise ways, but they'll exercise their will and sometimes in the wrong way. And it can just become adversarial. And then it's just like us versus them. And all I'm saying is here, never let it be us versus them. Let it be that you're always for them. And you don't allow even their disobedience, you know, become, you know, well, they're offending me. And they're not obeying me, and this idea that our own pride gets into it, you know, or our own self-centeredness, that we have to deal with these issues, you know. We come home, let's say that from the man's perspective, we come home from the day, the wife has already spent the whole day dealing with the issues, and now the husband comes home, I just want this to be a castle, and it isn't going to be a castle, you know. It's like, hey, that one says this, that one says that, and then you just feel like, oh, man. This is blowing my day. And our problem is, this is what we have to get over, is our own self-centeredness that can become irritable or defensive or reactive, and it's because they're messing up my day. And so we're involved in their life, and their messing up is their own sin that we ourselves have to deal with and help them and be constructive with them. So be prayerful about this all the time. We need wisdom and grace and be on their side. And so we have to be careful. And I'm going to speak about some of those things. But it's easy to become resentful of them if it becomes pattern. And you know, and then to become reactive. And we don't want to be reactive in our care and nurture of our children. So, I'll speak about some. All right, now that's the preliminaries. So let me do. Is that it? Yeah, that's okay. Whoops, I don't want to erase them. I'll erase everything. That'll teach them to let us use their board. I should just leave that on there, spanking, you know, because it's okay. Spank them. Okay. And, you know, and the obvious thing is, it's not fun. So we're not talking about, you know, this is the part I like, is the spanking part. We don't enjoy that. We don't want that. It's, you know, it's just like church discipline. So, you know, it has to be done sometimes, and nobody enjoys it. You know, it's something that we would just as soon kind of be indulgent in or neglect or overlook or just grow weary of, but we can't do that. So we've got to be faithful in this. And all right, so number one, let me see how I put it this way. Okay, how is it to be done? It's to be done, okay, I'm using this word, convincingly. Okay, I'm using that word, convincingly. Okay, and when I say convincingly, I mean not that they're convinced, but that you're convinced. That you're convinced that this is what ought to be done. That you have the conviction that this is the appointed means that God has given. So this is your attitude. Okay, you're for them, and what you're doing, you're convinced of that God Himself has appointed and given this means to do it. And so it's not something that is optional, and though you're not eager to do it, you're not sheepish about it. You're committed to it, to do that. And sometimes it becomes very easy. I mean, it becomes very easy to be convinced about it when they're gnarly and disobedient and all those things. I'm really convinced about this. Okay, this has got to be done. But I'm saying, no, convinced just about that it is the means to keep, you know, as the proverb says, to keep your child from death. You'll beat him and you'll save his soul from Sheol. And so these things are important. It's Proverbs 22:15. It's the means to remove innate folly, well, in fact, I'll read the text, and some of you might remember the text that I'm saying when I use the word folly, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You should be convinced about that. And it's probably, you already are, okay? But it says, the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Will remove it far from him. And so it's interesting, the Proverbs, the Proverbs kind of seem like they're, they kind of seem random. The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed, the Lord, he who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. So it's talking about adulteress, and then it's going to foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What is going on? And you say, is this wisdom? Well, it is, and because life doesn't come to us in categories. Today is the day I've got to deal with my laziness. Today is the day I've got to deal with the discipline of my children. The fact is that life hits us in all kinds of ways where we need wisdom. And it's just interesting that the Proverbs kinds of keeps it in that random, though there's an order to it. But here it is. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and that's what you don't want. And the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And the scripture just keeps reaffirming those things. Proverbs 29:15 I have down as well here. And let me see what. Oh, yeah. The rod and reproof give wisdom, and we've mentioned this one. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mom, to his mother. And so the rod removes folly, and the rod gives wisdom. And so those are the things we ought to be convinced of. All right. Now I'm going to put number two. Okay. And I'm going to put this, and I've mentioned this too, but it's to be done lovingly, and this is the Lord's way with us. Those whom the Lord loves, what does He do? He disciplines. I think sometimes the helpful thing for us is to remember. Remember that our pattern for our children is that we might be, remember how the Father is with us in terms of His care for us and the way He looks over us as we consider those preliminaries is to think, listen, I'm taking up really what God would have me to do, and as I do it, let me do it in a godly way. and to realize the pattern I have is God Himself who sees my sins, and my sins are far, far worse, and we're sinning all the time before Him, and yet He lovingly disciplines us. And so that's, He is patient with us, but He also disciplines us. And so that's, love will never indulge sin or sinful ways, okay? But it is to be the motivation in all of our discipline. And that's what we want to do. And as I said, this is the one where, you know, it's going to be marked by the character of the home and the character of all your relationships to them. When things are nice and sweet, you know, when everything's right, you know, and everything that, you know, that they're seeing. Let's put it this way, that make sure that not the only time that they ever get attention from you is when you're spanking them. You know, that they themselves are being encouraged that you love them and all those things, and that you can, it's good to affirm it, and it's good to show it and say all those things. And so that there is this understanding that it's an atmosphere of that loving attitude, as I said, in the sense of getting spanked all the time, but realizing ultimately I had to, in my own conscience, realize that, you know, they love me. They're not casting me out. And so we want to make sure it's done that way. And love is kind. Love is patient, but it will also discipline. All right. Now this is kind of a never ever. Okay. But this is one where we often fail. Never discipline. Okay, in anger. I'm just going to say this way. It should be self-controlled, you know. And maybe this word convincingly, lovingly speaks of this self-controlled. What would I say? Emotions in check, I guess. Keep those things. I'm just going to use that idea. Emotions, never discipline in anger. And you say, well, then, you know what? I don't think I can ever discipline then because I'm always angry with them. Okay. That's where we have to come before the Lord ourselves with regard to that and say, okay, is my anger a righteous anger? You know, is it an anger against the sin that they're committing, or is it an anger about the fact that that little stinker bug is messing up my day and it's causing problems for sister or brother? In other words, again, this idea, oftentimes, and most of the time, especially with regard to these things, our anger is fairly self-centered, and it's not directed, you know, for the glory of God or for those kinds of things. And so we want to be hateful of sin, but I like it when Jesus saw the setup. I think it was the man with the withered hand. Remember, and it looked like the man with the withered hand in the synagogue was a plant by the Pharisees and scribes. And Jesus saw that, and it says he looked on them, you know, and they were going to see what he was going to do, if he was going to heal on the Sabbath. And it says he looked upon them with anger, and then immediately it says grieved. And you go, wow! I mean, that's incredible. Anger, pure and holy at the sin that was there, but grieved, you know, with regard to their very condition and soul. And so I think what we have to do is we need to be sympathetic toward their souls is one way to think about that. You know, I want to be sympathetic toward their souls, and I can be angry at sin, but let me, you know, in a sense, carry that grief and that consciousness, again, of the very battles that they're facing right there, I face in a more sophisticated way. You know, I sin, I'm prideful, I want what I want, you know, and all those kinds of things. And so a humility ourselves with regard to our own sin, but we want to make sure that in that moment, you know, that discipline is necessary, that God helps us to deal with our anger. And that's probably what we have to deal with first. And sometimes, and in fact, that's what I'll talk about as we do this. In fact, let me see how... Okay. Yeah, in fact, that's exactly what I have here. Okay. Never speak to them. Never speak to them with contempt. Never treat them contemptuously. I'm just trying to use some words. Now, how can I do this? How can I settle my soul? You know, and this is the one that is helpful because it will bring me back. Okay. Now I'm just going to put it right here. I'm just going to put it this way. Speak to them. Okay. Before you spank them. I was going to say drop the gauntlet. Okay. Or whatever. You know, it says, okay, I'm about to do something right now, and I want to tell you about it. Okay. So, no, this is what I call it a patient and controlled speaking to them. And at least for me now, have any of you ever been guilty of this? Okay. You all have, right? And I have. Okay. What do you do? Okay. Maybe just to say that, what do you do when that, after the fact, and you realize, man, I just came off like, you know, because what do you want to do? We want a quick fix. I'm going to do it. It's done. Okay, let's just move on. You've had it. And say, I don't want, it's not a quick fix thing. It's something that we want to take care in. And so we just don't want to just kind of get it, move it over with. But after it's done, then it's like, you know, like little Kelsey, you know, Kelsey would always frustrate me because she was always just talking back all the time. Yeah. That's not right. No, I don't like that. You know, da 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 da, you know. And so, you know. You know, so I would react. You know, and we react to certain ones. We react to certain children more than the other. When the other ones, oh, this is a nice compliant, that's easy, okay, you know. But some, you know, and it's like I've had to ask for Kelsey's forgiveness a lot, you know, after I did it, because it's like, well, what's wrong with you, Dad? You know, it's like he's yelling at me. I didn't yell at her. You know, it's just when you say no, that's like yelling, you know, but I get angry, and then it, you know, and you say, well, man, now I'm just an utter failure. Yes, I'm an utter failure. But that if I come in humility and ask for forgiveness, then that also speaks of the relationship. That helps the relationship. I mean, sometimes our failings, and when we acknowledge our failings and when we confess our sins, then we will be able to raise children that won't be hypocrites. Well, Dad never sinned. He never confessed it. He never said it. We never saw any sin he talked about. You know, in other words, we need to be humble that way. And that is the way we can restore it, is to come back and just say, you know, I've sinned. And I sinned because I was angry. And that was the wrong attitude to have. I love you. This is what the Lord would have me do. But I acted in a wrong way. Please forgive me, you know, for that anger. And so that's what we have to do. But this is what I would suggest. Speaking of them before you correct, I'll use the word correct there. Correct, okay. Course correct sounds more like instruction. But first of all, this, specifically tell them what they've done wrong. You know, let them know what they've done wrong. And that, and the nice thing it does is it kind of forces you to get your mind straight, and especially what you've done wrong. What is the sin that they've done wrong? Not just simply that they've done wrong. What is the sin that's involved? The Holy Spirit convicts us, not vaguely. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and we want them to understand. Can we point out to them what is that sin? Okay, you know, that, in other words, that it's understood that the offense is not just simply against me or against brother or sister or against, you know, or just acting according to your own desires, but it's against God, to put it in the framework of the relationship with God. And so that forces you to think of that relationship with God that they have, that you desire for them as well. And then call upon them to acknowledge that behavior, that sinful behavior. Do you realize that you have done this sin, that this is wrong in God's sight, you know, and then informing them in advance, I'm going to spank you because you have been willfully disobedient, and God would have you obey, all right? And so you inform them, and then you remind them why it's necessary. This is why I'm doing this, not because I don't love you, but because I do. But this is what the Lord would require of me, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be a sermon. It doesn't have to be all those kinds of things. But what it is just sitting down and just what it does, sitting down and speaking to them settles you down. And that's what's also helpful, because you're thinking about what you're doing. You're also instructing your own heart with regard to it. So there's nothing that appears to be arbitrary about it. You know, it's not capricious. You know, this is what's behind it all. And so that's the fourth thing. Anybody have any other comments about that, is how you've approached that, Bonnie?
Yeah. I don't know. Any recommendations?
Yeah, I don't think you understand the lesson I'm trying to teach you. Yes. Please come over here to the dungeon. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's persistence. I don't know how you handled that, you know, and because that becomes frustrating, you know. Yeah.
And then by the 10th time, you're just like, there's that anger creeping in.
Yes. 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 Which, yeah. And that, yes. And that's the, as I said, I said this, the same frustration that my mom felt with my younger brother. You know, that's all she did the whole day. I just spanked your brother. That's all I did the whole day. You know, but, yeah, I mean, you probably have to change the speech, I suppose. You know, this is the ninth time, you know. I'm going to spank you and probably more until you're sweet, you know. You know, but be consistent. Yeah, I know, that's it is hard. That's where we just have to work. We have to stay at it. That's what I was going to say, though. Because, you know, oh yeah, well, I get it once. You know, I'll take the hit. But now, you know, if I do it again, nothing happens. And that's one of the problems with discipline. It's inconsistent, which is one of the worst things. One of the one things that you want to make them sure is not that it's, you know, not this idea necessarily it's going to be painful, but it is going to be certain. You know, that it's always going to be certain. Don't get on the couch, you know. Vroom. You know, I told you, next time you do that, well, no, you already told them once. You know, and again, to me, it's one of those things when you allow them to break the, you know, it's like the cow that gets, you know, it's inside the pasture and it breaks through the fence. Once it breaks through the fence, pretty soon there's just a long path where all the other cows are coming through, you know, and it's just like your life, you know, you just break through the fence. And sometimes that first offense, sometimes is the one that really has to be dealt with the best and the firmest, but you still have to follow up with that consistency. And that's hard, okay? Now that's, I'm going to speak about that because that's what moms deal with the whole day. The husbands get it at night, you know, or something, you know, guess what's happened, you know, here it is and everything else. And the little bugs, you know, they know how to wear moms down. I mean, that's the thing. So dad needs to be the enforcer. I'll say that. That'll be one of the things. Dad needs to enforce. It is good for moms to say, when your dad gets home, he'll deal with that. And, you know, and sometimes that's, and all those little things. I'm not going to do it necessarily, you know, finally, and just say, dad's going to do it now. And I'm turning you over to the chief executioner, you know that it might be good. And I mean, in other words, the man has to have that authority or should use that authority to enforce that with his wife. So I'm kind of jumping over that. But men have to be the enforcers. They've got to carry that out because they don't know, or we don't realize often what the wife bears as she's trying to nurture these little creatures. I mean, we love them. We love them, but they're a piece of work. And that's what God's put us into. So, all right. Now, this one I'm just putting here. And this is, it's kind of out of the sequence, but I'm just going to be, it's to be done privately. Okay. This is the problem we have in our, well, you know, in our society, you can't, if they're acting up like crazy in the grocery store, you know, you start spanking them, then, you know, Department of whatever, corrections will come after you, or whatever it may be. But there's another thing about public discipline. It's humiliating. And so what you want to do, you know, what you want to do when you discipline is discipline privately, so it isn't going. So I'm saying not only just with regard to the, in the public venue, but I think just this whole idea: am I humiliating them? We're not seeking to humiliate them, and so the private thing is good. I'm just thinking about this is out loud thinking. I'm just saying, well, you know, does that mean privately in the home too? You know, if little Johnny is doing this, then I spank him. You know, does little Sally need to be over here to see that? You know, sometimes I think there's benefit in that. By seeing that, but again, you want to make sure that it's not just simply humiliation, you know. And that's just be careful about that, you know. It's to humble them, but not humiliate them. And again, that will take wisdom. I just remember a friend that, his brother, my friend, set fire to the family's bushes in the front yard. He and his brother were playing and. He set fire to the bushes, and the dad caught the brother and was going to deal with him. You know, he's blaming the brother. So, you know, the guy that started didn't say anything, and the father took the brother into the living room and was going to punish him. And he heard his brother, "No, Dad, no, Dad, no." His brother wasn't, you know, his brother was keeping silent, you know. No, you know, and then, no, Dad, no, Dad. So he was saying, okay, you know, the offending brother says, I've got to go in and confess it to my dad. Well, the dad had a match, and he was putting it under the brother's foot. Let him to feel the flame. So he goes in there, and he told his brother, hold on, hold on. But he didn't never confess the sin. So I don't know, if it, you know, with regard to things in the home, sometimes that's going to be profitable. And, you know, just to say, listen, these things happen and you understand. But again, if it's going to be humiliating, then you decide that. But that punishment probably, in the main, probably would tend to be wisest done, you know, in a private way. Let's see, what do I have? Okay, this is going to be six, and this is going to be it. Okay, so we're done. We've got to finish right now. So we'll go on. I see a hand. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
So I feel like I almost see him like becoming immune to it almost really like quickly. So I'm nervous that I'm like going to over spank, I guess. If that makes sense.
Or
like I hear those parents say like, oh, spanking didn't work for my kids or something. And I'm like,
respond to that and then the punishment kind of become immune.
Yeah.
Or start to enjoy it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So I can totally like connect with you. It's like now it's like bring it on.
Uh-huh.
God.
Yeah.
Like, what do I have?
Like happening.
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the over spanking is when there's a harming. Okay, not the pain, but the harm. Okay, to inflict the pain is okay, you know. And sometimes I think, yeah, this is where it's going to take wisdom. You know, is it going to be three swats or one? You know, like a hand touching the cookie jar, whap, you know. I mean, instant, you know, that's going to be different than maybe, you know, maybe a certain other offense. Let's just say hitting a, you know, a sister or brother, you know, or even lying. I mean, those are things, no, we don't do that, you know. I mean, things you want to enforce. And so I think the force has to be, well, in fact, that firmly is the thing that I've put here. That's the next one. It's got to have some sting to it, you know, that the pain is not worth the gain, you know, or the whatever it is. Is that right? I'm trying to think of which one. But I mean, it should be over spanking, you know, like three or four, you know, or something like that. Sometimes, I just remember the story of a wife, you know, seeing the husband discipline the boy, you know, and she just said, you know, keep going, honey. He's not sweet yet, you know. And so there's, I mean, he wasn't harming him, you know, but there was over spanking, I think, is a good concern because it can be humiliating. It's like the 40 lashes less one, you know, or that kind of thing. But I think making it strong and sharp the first time and then still being consistent and then making an assessment if you're going to be a two-time offender, I'm going to be a two-time spanker, you know, and we'll ratchet it up. But again, not for harm, you know, and I'll have to think some more about that. Okay. The inconsistency is a frustrating thing, yeah. And they'll take advantage of it, yeah.
And, I mean, we did it a million times where you're like, you're right on it, and then you're not. And, oh, this just isn't working. And then you kind of look back and go, well, probably, you know, it's really because I wasn't consistent. And we're humans. We're going to fail.
Yeah.
And so you
we get weary of that. And just don't let it become a heavyweight fight. And, of course, the other thing is, though, is that you can get angry because of that. You know, you spank. Okay, I wasn't in anger. And then nothing, you know, ha, 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 ha. Well, I don't want to hear ha, 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 ha. You know, okay, well, maybe I need to hear the little cry, you know, and those kinds of things. So sometimes, you know, just a little, you know, little swat. They'll know if you intend or not, you know, in a sense. You know, and sometimes if they sense that hesitant, I mean, kids are, you know, they read us well. And they'll know if our heart's in it or not, or if our hand is in it or not. Yeah, and so we've got to be firm. We've got to be convinced. And I'll say some more about that, but we've got to go. Yeah, those are good questions and observations, and we'll go on and finish. All right, Father, we realize that it's amazing that you've entrusted the care of souls into the care of those themselves who need your mercy and grace. Lord, Father, we need wisdom as parents and grandparents, as family members, that we can encourage one another in this solemn and great task of nurturing and raising our children to love and fear you, Lord, and to walk in a manner pleasing to you. Father, give wisdom to us. And Lord, help us to be convinced about what you're convinced about and what you declare that we ought to do. And help us to be people humble enough to seek your grace daily to do this. And Lord, not to be fearful so much of failure, but be willing where we sin to confess it. And Lord, willing to, where we've failed to act, to take up what we should do by your grace. Lord, we ask that you would be pleased to use the very means you've appointed as we try to do them, Lord, for the good and welfare and blessing of our children. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for the discipline that you give to us. Thank you for the love that is manifested in your daily gifts to us and your word to us. Father, thank you for these people and for these families here. And we pray for our children, Lord, that you will bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.